Well, good evening. Tonight is one of those nights where you look back at the last year, and what an amazing year that we had together as the body of Christ here at Countryside. And let's look at Psalm 100 and the way that we respond to God's goodness to us. This is a psalm of thanksgiving, Psalm 100. It says, "Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us and not ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting. And his faithfulness is to all generations." Let's pray. Father, we do come to you tonight with a joyful heart, a heart of celebration of what a great and awesome God that we serve. Lord, we do shout joyfully to you, and we shout with gladness as you've given us the privilege of serving you in this body this year. As we look back over the year, Lord, we see your hand through so many of the activities and the ministries that have gone on in this church, Lord. We see your sovereign control of all that goes on, and we see the way that you have led us and allowed us to be a light in this community. Lord, we just come before you with joy and with praise. We know, Lord, that it is you that has made us. It's you that is in control, and that we are your people. We are the sheep of your pasture. Lord, we desire to please you as our great shepherd. We desire to do the things, Lord, that would bring pleasure to you. And we know that's possible through your word, that as we obey you and as we demonstrate the obedience to your word and the things that you've called us to do, that it gives you pleasure. Lord, we pray that we enter your gates with thanksgiving, that we come each time we come to you in prayer, when we come into your presence, Lord, that we do so with this thanksgiving for all that you've done, Lord. We praise you. We give you thanks. We bless your name. For truly, Lord, you are good. For truly, Lord, your loving kindness is forever. And your faithfulness is to all generations. Lord, we love you and we exalt you tonight. We give you praise and we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
We believe that the best way to approach the scripture is by expositional teaching and preaching. And that's because it reflects our theology of scripture. We believe that God has spoken not only in concepts, but in sentences and even in words. And so our job as teachers is to understand those words and sentences in the flow of their context and then explain them. We're not creating the message. We're instead trying to get God's message carefully understood and explained to his people. This year, it's been our joy to study through the 5th chapter of Matthew and to really delve into all that our Lord said in that great sermon we called the Sermon on the Mount. On Sunday night, we've been studying through the Gospel of Mark, and especially this year in the Passion Week of our Lord, seeing his majesty and beauty.
We convicted Jesus by our verdict and by our sins. That spiritual barrier has been broken, and that's the very reason why you now can hear this gospel and respond. The question is, have you done that?
And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness.
It's forgiveness, isn't it? That's what God does for us. He welcomes us not as we deserve, but as who deserves? It's Christ.
And we know when God revealed himself in unique ways, what happened? People bowed. They worshiped.
The music ministry is one of the reasons that people come to Countryside Bible Church. We are blessed to have amazing musicians, both vocalists and instrumentalists, help lead in our worship each week. We do a great blend of hymns and choruses using orchestra and the praise band.
Psalm 78:4 says, "Tell to the generation to come the praises of the Lord." And it's the delight of our children's ministries to come alongside parents, to encourage them and to assist them in seeking to do just that.
Thank you. The youth ministry at CBC exists to assist parents in evangelizing and equipping the next generation. For those youth who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ, we want them to live out the reality that they have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer they who live, but Christ lives in them.
Countryside is called Roots because we desire to see students grow in their understanding of Jesus Christ through rooting themselves deeply in His Word.
How can a young man or a young woman keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your Word.
Now, we get that in the sanctuary. What I think we do better in Sunday school, in adult Sunday school, is we facilitate fellowship, because in a large church, it's easy to just feel lost and isolated. In smaller groups like Sunday school, we can connect with one another.
Jacob is waiting to go and to see Esau. Why would God choose this night to come and spend all night wrestling with him?
What we want us to do is focus on the great God of Jonah. And let Jonah sort of get out of the way and let us focus on this amazing God.
Sometimes step away from our exercise of faith, and when we do that, how do we return, and how does God view that, and why is He even able to receive us when we return, when we exercise faith and repentance?
Thank you.
as physical beings, there are very few things we absolutely have to have. We have to have water, we have to have food, we have to have sleep. What we want to do is look at those things that as believers we have to have to survive. And so this year, Bible study, the importance of the Word of God feeding our souls.
What a joy to look back on the year in pictures. A picture is worth a thousand words, and we have a lot to be thankful for as we see the year in review. So let's pray and thank the Lord for just an incredible 2012. Father, we thank you so much for this little glimpse back at the life of our church this past year. Lord, as Brian said, we have so much to be thankful for because you have been so good and you have been so faithful. And Lord, we thank you for each of these different areas that were highlighted in the video, and so much more that even we didn't have time or opportunity to include. Lord, we thank you for your word that has been taught this year. We thank you for all that you have done in our corporate gatherings and in our Sunday school classes and home fellowships and each of the ministries where your word is proclaimed. And we thank you that we can gather in worship and music. We thank you for the different ministries to children and to youth and college and singles and adults and all the different ways that people have been edified and built up. And Lord, we thank you for the outreach that our church has been able to participate in locally and across the globe. We thank you just for all that you have done. And Lord, we recognize that the ministry that has taken place here is because of you. It's because you have redeemed us and called us to yourself. It's because we have been saved by grace, and by grace you have given us good works to walk in. Lord, we recognize that it's you who gifts us, it's you who has called us, it's you who has given us the time and place and who bears the fruit in ministry. And so we praise you. And Lord, we are so grateful for all that you have done in the life of our church this year. And so we give you praise tonight. Lord, we don't want to take lightly all the ways that you have worked, both in our body, in sanctifying us, in deepening our understanding of your word and our love for you, and also all the ways that you have worked through our body in reaching out and in encouraging others that are a part of our lives and even around the world. And so, Lord, we have so much to be thankful for tonight, and we just rejoice in all that you have done, and we look forward to this coming year. We thank you for all that you have in store. We trust you, and we look forward to another year of your goodness and faithfulness towards our church. So we thank you and commit the rest of our meeting to you. In Christ's name, amen.
I want to start off with a verse this evening. Philippians 4:19 says, "And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." You know, I'm going to talk about our finances, and of course that's a huge area for us. Last time I talked to the congregation, there was a need. Our reserves had gone down a bit in the first quarter, and the Lord provided an amazing December. And I'll talk to you about that. You'll see the results of that. But, you know, I was in California at the time that we had our first elder meeting after that. And I pictured the elders running around the table and high-fiving each other. But, you know, in the church, in our church here, it's not by any of our efforts. And it's clearly we're dependent upon the Lord God. We don't pass an offering plate. You don't hear us pushing you to give, only to be obedient to what the Lord has called us to do, and that is to give. But the Lord has abundantly provided for us. And I'll show you that in a couple of the slides here. So this is aptly entitled God's Provision. And our fiscal year, for those of you who are new, begins October 1st. So I'm going to cover that period from October 1st to the end of the year. So it truly is 2012. So here's the general fund income and expense. The general fund is the fund that we use for paying our bills, basically, and the staff salaries and so forth. You can see that our actual to-date end of the year was $930,000. Our budget for that period was $736,000. So you can see how abundantly the Lord provided during that period of time. So we have an overage of $194,000. At the same time, we've been carefully watching our expenses because we knew we were running just a little bit behind in the first couple of months of the year. And so we're about $100,000 under our expenses. So that's a good thing as well, just showing that we're being careful about what we do. Here are the fund balances. And I want you to look at that, the first number, that $291,000. That was where we were at the end of September. And that's an important number because we established a reserve. Our finance committee helps us establish how much money we should keep in the bank so that we're able to pay our bills and not be overly uncareful. And so we established 3 months several years ago of reserves. And for last year, that would have been $600,000. And at the middle of the year, the Finance Committee encouraged us to reduce that number because the $600,000 is a lot of money to have in the bank, especially when we have a loan. And so we took $250,000 last year before September, and we applied that to our children's building loan. Well, shortly after that, the reserve started to go down instead of replenishing. And so, you know, of course, the concern is that did we get ahead of the Lord on that? And you know, that would be a common thing for us to say. That $291,000 number dipped to about $178,000. And so there was a little bit of nervousness, I would say. And then the elders agreed that we should tell you about it. And our pastor did that. And then we had a special offering in December. But over and above that special offering, I mean, that special offering was part of it, but over and above that, it was just an amazing, amazing December, bigger than we've ever had. And it just shows you God's faithfulness to us through his people, you. And so that's a great story there. You can see the building fund was at the end of December, $198,000. We actually, every month, what we do is we take what's in the building fund and we apply it to our loan. And so we're paying down that loan all the time. Because our reserves were down a bit, we elected to hold off on doing that until we saw what December looked like and the ensuing months. That $198,000, at the end of December, we took $195,000. And we applied that to our loan. So you'll see that our loan has gone down significantly as well. Here's the summary of our building. The children's building was about $5.3 million, and the cost paid via contributions prior to the end of the building was about $3 million. And so we took out a loan for $2.245 million. And we have been paying down on that. The loan principal payments are also by contributions. It doesn't say that, but that's your contributions as well. And so the current loan balance is $743,931. Isn't that wonderful? That's terrific. So we have much to be thankful for, and I think it's appropriate. I remember I was talking about how I missed the elder meeting, how, you know, they weren't high-fiving. What the minutes say is one of the elders led in a prayer of thanksgiving for the Lord's provision for his church. And so I'm going to do that again tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the great and awesome God that you are, and we thank you that you do provide, because it is your church. It's not our church. It's yours, and you make provision for it. Forgive us, Lord, for any kind of worrying that we did. Lord, help us to trust you more and more as we go forward. Lord, I thank you, too, for a group of people, the Finance Committee, that do such a great job of overseeing the finances of your church and provide great expertise in that particular area. Lord, I thank you for the children's building. And thank you, as we've watched this video and seen all the children that you've provided and that next generation that we have the responsibility to teach. Father, I just thank you for that facility. And Lord, we do ask that as we have been growing and that you have provided that growth, that you will also provide for a worship center in the coming months or years, Lord, in your timing. Thank you again, Lord, for the great provision that you've made to your church. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, thank you so much, Dwight. And I also want to say a special word of thanks to Andrew Hale, who put that video together. And I hate there are ever little technical glitches. We watched it several times in here. I had the chance to see it once, and it, absolutely seamless. But as it happens with electronics, that occurs. But so grateful for his work. We'll put that online where you can watch it again and see it and just rehearse God's goodness as we had a chance to do tonight. But I hope you were encouraged by that. I certainly was. Well, as we look back and forward, you know, so many things have happened. Let me begin by saying that I'm going to show you a lot of slides, and I'm going to show you a lot of slides in a hurry. So don't expect that I'm going to comment on everything. I'm certainly not. But this also will be available online. So if you want to go back and review something, you can do that. But it was an interesting year, 2012. Obviously, Hurricane Sandy, the Olympics there in London, the presidential elections here in the States, the war in Syria, the unforgettable image of that Greek liner Concordia on its side, the shooting in the theater in Aurora, and the massacre in Benghazi, the Queen's Jubilee, and the growing concern about the Iranians and their nuclear capabilities. A lot of other things going on in the world, a lot of things making front page. But as I reminded you recently, in God's economy, in the mind of God, what really is important that's happening in the world, that happened in 2012, happened in churches like ours across the world and churches like our brothers. And that's what we want to rehearse, is God's work in and through his church. Just to begin with, the leadership, we had for last year a wonderful group of elders, and of course, we will miss and do miss our dear brother Charlie, but he was a part of that, and we appreciated so much his leadership. But I'm so grateful for these men, some of whom you've met and tonight, and others of whom you know and see around. And those of you who are newer to our church, I hope you'll get to know these men. Again, these will be available to you, so you can take a look and see who they are and connect with them coming weeks. This past year, we had an elders retreat in April to talk about issues pertaining to the church. And this is a summary slide of that. I'm not going to take you in detail, but obviously one of the key things we talked about were the worship center space problems. Our solution, of course, was to add a third morning service, which we began in September, and I'll show you the amazing statistics on that in a few minutes. God has gone way beyond what we planned and really made space available for people to worship here in each of those services. We also talked about, as new people come in, many of them are coming from churches that are solid, and others of them are coming from churches that are not. And we want to make sure that we help them understand the doctrine and the distinctives of this church and engage them in the life of the church. And there are a number of plans that we have in place, some of which have already been implemented. Others will be coming to do that. Another item we discussed, and Dwight mentioned it in his prayer, is a future new worship center. The three services in the morning is a good temporary solution, but that's probably not a long-term solution. And so the elders are planning toward the construction of a new worship center. And as we talked about it, prayed about it, we are operating on the hopes and prayers and plans at this point of moving forward with perhaps being completed with that in 5 years or so, and a building that has a future expansion capacity if we would need that. Not that that would be something we'd build in immediately, but just so that we're not caught in that situation again, if the Lord wills. Adult Sunday school, we want to strengthen that. We talked about teachers, locations, curriculum. We also wanted to strengthen our shepherding plan. As the church grows, we don't want people to slip through the cracks. Now, and we want to make sure that as best we can humanly, there's a net in place to keep that from happening. And we talked about some plans to do that, and many of those have already been implemented. These are the deacons who serve in our church. We're grateful for them. We're constantly aware there's so many ministries here that are going on, and these men oversee ministries in the life of our church, and we're so grateful for their ongoing leadership. We also are grateful for our staff. I have two slides of our full-time staff who serve either in the office or with the facilities in various ways, but we're grateful for those whom God has brought. We especially want to say welcome to Les Poner, who has joined us as the technical director handling. You know, in today's world, there's so many pieces of equipment that have to be handled, and we're so grateful the Lord's brought him and his wife to us. Some new ministries began this year. Fruitful Hands, you saw it mentioned on the video. It's a benevolence ministry involving the women of the church. Donations of food and non-food items, a quarterly project for assembling those and for fellowship. Here's what they did in 2012, care packages for the troops, donations for the Union Gospel Mission and the Roanoke Food Pantry, 560 Operation Christmas Child boxes, a shoe drive for the Union Gospel Mission, freezer meals to aid in the Baskets of Blessings. Baskets of Blessings is the ministry that provides food for families where someone's been in the hospital or is unable to prepare, those kinds of things. So they replenished that and aided them in that ministry. And then Christmas dinner fixings for some of our families who could benefit from that. We also began to mention, and just the beginning of this year, started Men of the Word. Provides an opportunity for men to grow. We were thrilled with the fact that 180 men attended our first class. And they haven't committed to 6 semesters over 3 years, but that's the extent of time that this program will run in its course, and we'll see how many men really continue with us, but we're thrilled for the beginning God has given us in that ministry. Another ministry that began is Beginnings, ministry to young marrieds. They sort of came out of the Foundations ministry, and Jeff and Debbie Scarborough lead that. It meets on the first and third Thursday nights. About 20 come to that young marrieds, and it meets in their home, and they have a wonderful ministry with those young marrieds. Now, let me move on to just some ministry news and updates across the life of the church. First of all, and I always begin with what's dear and near and dear to my own heart, and that is our worship in the Word here in the corporate time. This past year, we finished Matthew 5, studied from the Beatitudes on, and then began Matthew 6. And then on Sunday evenings, we studied from Mark 12 to 14, in addition to some others who preached as well. As we look forward to this next year, on Sunday morning, obviously, I want to continue in the Sermon on the Mount. I'm not making any promises that I'm finishing this year, but I do think we will make significant progress. The Lord's Prayer merits a little extra time, but I think we'll pick up a little bit of pace from there. I also want to talk about and preach a series on the church's distinctives, those doctrinal distinctives that we hold that are different than many other churches do, and I want us to understand those and be committed to those. And I don't know how long that will be, but I'm looking toward that. Also, I want to do a couple of book overviews. I've wanted to do that and have done some of those, but I want to systematically begin to work through the books of the Bible with an overview, a one-message overview of a book. I know some of you who are newer don't believe I can do that. I have done that and will do that, where hopefully over time we've been exposed to the entire Scripture. That's kind of my goal. I'm not going to do many of those a year, but if you're here over a number of years, you'll be exposed to many of the books in Scripture. Sunday evening, we're going to finish Mark's Gospel. We will finish Mark's Gospel this year, Lord willing. And then I'm still thinking about a special summer series. A couple of years ago, I did the Bible study, and I've got a couple of ideas sort of spinning in my head. We'll see where that ends up, but I'm looking forward to that. And then I want to begin an Old Testament book, and I don't know yet for sure. I haven't landed, but one I'm considering is the book of Ecclesiastes, which I think is one of the most misunderstood books in all the Bible. And there are rich truths for us for living life in today's world from Ecclesiastes. So we'll see. That's certainly something I'm leaning toward, but that's as we look forward to this year. This gives you a little glimpse of our worship attendance. You see that little chart starts in 2004 and 5. The fiscal year 2004 and 5 runs through this last year, 11 and 12, both in the weekly average attendance as well as in the general fund contributions, the weekly average. And you can see both of those are, by God's goodness, very encouraging. Here are our Sunday adult ministries and the average attendance. And you see Sunday school there in the first column, and how many are involved in adult Sunday school. And we're grateful for that, a large number of folks involved. And then in our worship services, notice how the averages between the three services, once we began the three services, are almost identical. You know, I'll be honest with you, when we talked about starting a third service, my chief concern was that it might just be me and Sheila in the first service. And, you know, that her conviction would be obvious and she'd be uncomfortable with it as I preached. But by God's goodness, there were more people than that. In fact, it started out the largest of the three, but now you can see the average attendance has equalized in a way that we couldn't have done if we had tried. Only the Lord could answer our prayers and cause that to happen. We wanted to make room for people not to have to sit in video overflow, and by God's goodness, He's done that. Here is the maximum attendance. I won't spend any time on this slide other than to say the maximum worship attendance last year has become the average in January. So the Lord is continuing to grow His church. As we look forward, coming up shortly is our Essentials Conference on February 22 to 24. It's on evangelism, and I hope you'll plan to be here. Got some great speakers, but this is another one of those areas like prayer where none of us feel that we are doing all that we ought to do to honor the Lord. And so we want to equip you to do that, equip all of us to do that. And Richard Phillips will be with us. He's been here before, and those of you who've heard him, you know he'll be an encouragement and blessing. Randy Smith as well has ministered to our men. He'll be with us. And Brian Murphy, who ministered our men's retreat this past year, and Chris Reiser, who also has preached here. So these men, I know you'll enjoy and benefit from their ministry. And this is the second in our Essentials series. Some annual ministries that take place through every year. I put up here to remind you that while these don't show up in other places, these are significant ministries that happen at specific points in the year throughout each year. Our children's ministry has continued to blossom, as you can imagine. Here are some numbers from Jonathan, our family pastor. Sunday morning Sunday school, between Sunday school and nursery, they average almost 300 kids. Now, that's a little scary for those of us who don't work in that area, but I'm so grateful for the 100 adults who serve and minister to our kids. Sunday evening, Awana, 240 kids on average, 30 to 40 in the nursery classes. So as we're meeting here every Sunday night, this is what's going on down there. 105 volunteers serving and ministering to our families. On Wednesday night, our children's choirs, we average about 100 kids, 40 to 50 kids in the nursery classes, and 25 to 30 adults serving them. Our nursery is growing. You saw 28 children born in our church in 2012. Others came with people who came into our church. And so last summer, we hired Jennifer Stonecipher as our new nursery director, and we added Tiffany Bell as an assistant nursery director. They oversee those children's ministries Sunday morning, evening, and Wednesday night. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. You saw on the video the ministries that the Cross Culture and Cross Training Youth Ministries have been involved in, but I'm very encouraged that in addition to their camps and getaways, they're also serving faithfully in a lot of different ways, including one that was added this last year, the Mexico Pastors Conference, where our guys go down to the border and Dwayne Gibson brings some pastors across and their families, and we have an opportunity to serve them and equip them. That has already become a wonderful ministry to those pastors. Upcoming this year, some of those same ministries, and I put in here the times they meet so you can go look, and if someone wonders when they meet, you want your kids to be a part, I would encourage you to take a look at that. Our Roots College ministry, again, outreach, studying the scriptures, yes, fellowship, yes, but also outreach in a couple of different ways, and they're looking forward to some of those same kinds of outreaches in the year ahead. Our ministry to singles, ages 23 to 29, 128, based on Colossians 1:28, meets weekly with Chaz Morse and his wife Patty, and they have not only a Tuesday morning breakfast, Bible study for guys, but a Wednesday evening Bible study and meal. About 30 in that age group come, and they just have a wonderful time. I get little updates along the way, and I know those of you who are part of that ministry appreciate it very much. Our Young Families and Foundations Ministry, with Jonathan Anderson leading them, meet on Wednesday night, two times a month. About 35 young family members come and are a part of that, the couples, and so we're grateful for the ministry in their lives. There's also a ministry called Single Minded, following in the footsteps of Paul, a ministry to unmarrieds in the 40-plus range, and they meet normally in Bedford on Home Fellowship Thursdays with Daryl Bennett teaching them, but for now, as he's getting his treatment and is away, they're meeting here at the church with Jesse Levy, and we appreciate the ministry they have. And one other age group that's ministered to is our Heritage Fellowship, ministry to seniors 60-plus, and we're grateful for Dwight and Nancy Custis and their junior partners in serving those folks who are a part of our church family. Home Fellowships. They're studying James this year, and I'll just give you the summary slide. I won't spend any time on where the groups meet because that's in your other places. You're exposed to that. But now there are 17 home fellowship groups in 12 different communities, two languages, most of them in English, but one in Spanish. And the average number of attendees when we have home fellowships is almost 200 of our church body are a part of those. And again, you can look at these where they meet if you want. Missions and outreach. In missions this past year, Gaynell Newport was appointed as a CBC missionary. We're glad for her and for the ministry that she has in West Africa that she and Steve began and that she continues to be connected to. And Cornelius and Angelique Gray began their service in the Middle East, and we don't share specifically where they're serving because of it's a difficult place in a Muslim area. Gus and Ruth Matero, they are so faithful and continue to be energetic in the service of the Lord. And we're grateful that we were able to partner with them in VBS. Mike Jenrin was here and spoke on Reformation Sunday in our Sunday schools. Maybe you heard that. Rich and Paula Barnes were with us during their furlough. And then Tim and Molly Hines visited at the end of their three-year short-term service in Asia. A couple of other things in missions. There was a brochure developed, how you can become involved in missions. If you want to know that, we want you to have that. So let us know, and we'll get one of those in your hands. Also, we revised the application form for our missionaries. We established and expanded care groups for each missionary, where there are groups of people that are actually looking out for our individual missionaries. Our missionary prayer teams expanded. And then we had an administrative sort of team, our mission leadership team, that formed. And we were also encouraged that our missions budget for 2013 increased by 4.5%, both to meet the increasing needs of our missionaries as well as to give us new opportunities. A lot of short-term missions trips to Kenya in June, to England, the Mexico Pastors Conference in South Texas on two different occasions, and a lot of folks involved with those ministries. Also, some special projects that we did, and I'm not going to go through these, but we were able in individual situations to help specific needs, and I want you to be aware of those. Local outreach is something that we've really gotten excited about and the Lord has encouraged us in. And one of the main ways we're doing that right now is through our international friends at Countryside. Started back in 2009 to reach internationals in our area. Seven different English classes are taught by different levels. In addition, Bible, citizenship, and U.S. history, and an extra English practice. They meet on Thursday mornings in conjunction with the calendar of the school calendar. But they have 137 registered, 34 staff, and every week 70 on average show up, plus 12 in child care. So it has become a really wonderful ministry. With them, the gospel is shared. They have an elective class in Bible, which Rocky teaches on the Gospel of John. About 8 to 10 of students are attending that, and two, we believe, came to faith in Christ last spring. Also, the children are being taught and are learning. Along with that, we wanted to have something on Sunday mornings that those folks could come to, and so we began Ambassadors Fellowship, which is an ESL-friendly Sunday school class, also going through the Gospel of John, and Milt Powell has taken that on. About 6 to 10 internationals are attending that week in and week out. Here's the 20 countries where the folks from IFC are from. This is where they're coming from and needing to be here and learn English. And you can see the largest numbers, 48 from Mexico, 36 from South Korea, 8 from Vietnam, 7 from both China and Colombia. So it's really amazing to see how the Lord has brought the world to us and given us a chance to reach them with the gospel. In addition to that, we continue to provide the Grace Medical Clinic over in Grapevine, and our church staffs that health clinic one Thursday evening each month and gives us a chance in the waiting room to connect with people and to share the gospel, and it's a great way to serve those who would have no other way of getting the health care that's provided there. Our video ministry continues to sort of astound me. You saw one number on the screen earlier, 11,000 plus hours of listening. This gives you sort of an average. Every week as we meet here, as many people as this auditorium will hold comfortably are viewing our services from somewhere else. And about 184 viewing hours, 55 different metro areas, and 8 countries every month. And you can see down at the bottom there, 149 unique U.S. metro areas in 2012 and 27 unique countries in 2012 joined us as we worship here on the Lord's Day. And so it's really amazing to me. Our benevolence ministry, you can see that there were $118,000 in contributions. Now, that's unusually high, and that's because you look across the column there and see we had one special offering for the seminary housing in Goa. There were folks, you all were so generous and gave $48,000 to that. So that's 48 of that 118. We had $94,000 in expenditures. 27 of that went to 67 families who were part of our church to help them in moments of need. And then you can see that outside of our church family, more than 75 recipients, $67,000. And you see some of those on the right-hand column there. The one I'll mention at the bottom, that is to help with His Steps ministry, a ministry that is really a biblical approach to substance abuse. Some folks and families from our church have benefited from it, and their facility burned. And so we gave some money to help them as they seek to reestablish that. Our women's ministry, you saw it featured as well. Here's a snapshot. The women's morning Bible study on Wednesday, 56 women on average come, 30 children. Titus 2 meets monthly, about 70, 75 women in seven different groups meet across the area. And then, of course, you saw one of their fellowship outreach events, the Christmas Tea, was so well attended and was a great outreach to the community. A lot of folks attended who weren't a part of our church. In addition, the women's ministry deals with baskets of blessings. I mentioned that earlier. Comfort care, these are meals that are provided for families after a funeral service. Newcomer coffees, and so forth. You can see their upcoming events. A retreat coming up in March, March 1st and 2nd, ladies, note that. And their fall event on my birthday, September 19th. I don't think there's any intention there. Men's ministry. You saw the breakfast featured, the other activities. Note, men, there are breakfasts coming up this year, March 23rd, May 18th, August 17th, and the men's retreat, October 18th and 19th. So plan to be with us for that men's retreat coming up in October. Just a couple of miscellaneous things about our facilities and property. The biggest thing, of course, is by the elders' vote, and by your affirmation, we purchased 6 acres, the parcel that's south of the children's building. The reason for that is if the Lord wills and we build a new worship center, we're going to need some extra parking to make everything fit. And so that was important, and in God's providence, we didn't approach them, they approached us. And it just worked out. You affirmed that and have been generous, and our prayers you'll continue to be. But 6 acres down there. We also added signage for our adult Sunday school classes, some carpet for the choir, and this is really important to Christians, a commercial coffee brewer in the fellowship hall kitchen. It pumps out some coffee now. I don't know how many gallons in a short period of time, but it's a bunch. So I don't think anybody can say they don't have enough coffee. A monitor in the back of the worship center here for those of us who are trying to sing along with you during communion. I can glance back there and follow the words while you see them on the screen behind me. That's helpful. We also upgraded our wireless system in the worship and children's buildings, replaced some video projectors, had to replace one of the HVAC units here in the worship center, and we added some electricity as well for some seasonal decorations. There are a couple of other ministries that I just want to mention and say thank you to. Our greeters who greet you every week and especially greet those who are new to our church. We're so grateful for them, for the folks who man our welcome center, the ushers, the bookstore, the library. Tony Moorhead, who works with the folks, oversee our landscape. It's always just so beautiful. The media ministry that pumps out the CDs that you pass along. And as well, our medical emergency response team, who are available every Sunday, because in a church this size and the number of people we have on a Sunday, it's not uncommon for us to have some medical issues come up, and folks who are off-duty, nurses and doctors, who volunteer their time to serve in that, as well as those folks who really serve us in the kitchen. We're so grateful for all that they do. You know, I've put these columns on the slide because as I thought about our church and I was reminded of what we learned and were reminded of just a couple of weeks ago in the message I did called Church Matters. This verse just jumped out at me in 2 Corinthians 6:16. Paul says to the church there in Corinth, we, the people of God, this church, we are the temple of the living God. We are today the people of God, not this place, not this facility, but we, God's people, we are every bit as much His special dwelling place as the temple was in Jerusalem. We are the temple of the living God. Just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. That's what's happened at Countryside Bible Church, is God has made a temple for himself. And it's not these walls, it's you, God's people. And each of us are one stone that adds to that superstructure, and each of us contributes our place and our part, and the temple becomes an adequate place by his grace alone for our God to be worshiped. That's really what all of this is about. So I hope that you'll be reminded of that and you will celebrate God's goodness to us as a church. I want to do one other thing before we finish tonight, and that's I want to say a special thank you. I want to say thank you to our dear brother who has served as chairman of our elder board this past year. I think Daryl is probably watching this via our live streaming. And brother, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for your faithful service to us. Thank you for your care for us. And we are so grateful for you. And wish you were here to celebrate with us, but we have a little plaque we want you to have when you get back to us. It says, "For he is faithful that promised." Hebrews 10:23. We celebrate God's faithfulness in and through his people and in and through faithful leaders that he's raised up. So I want to say thank you to Daryl. I also want to introduce to you and welcome, not introduce, you know him, but have Tom Beswick come. It's my joy to work with him this coming year as the chairman of the elder board. Make whatever comments he would like and close us in prayer, and Seth will lead us in a closing song.
I want to assure you that at no elder board do we get up and run around the tables high-fiving. And when one of us does, the rest of us will learn to just keep working, and within three laps, Dwight's tired. So I want our wives to know that's not why we're late. You know, every year we try to plan out the needs. We look at the needs of our church, both financially and in ministries. And every year it's great to look back and see how God not only meets those needs, but he exceeds them. And every year we make our plans, realizing that God is alone is the one who is going to see those plans come to fruition. But he chooses to do that primarily through human agency, through you and me and each one of us in this church. And it's good to give praise to that God. We make our plans, and inevitably during the year, there seems to come instances where God reminds us that he has another plan, and that sometimes that plan doesn't really gel with what we've planned. And sometimes those reminders are easy. Sometimes, like this past year with Daryl and Charlie, they're a little bit more difficult. But as Moses wrote in Deuteronomy 32:4, the way of the Lord is perfect. He is without injustice. And you know something? As we go forward into this next year, we go forward in confidence, not in ourselves, not in our strength or our power, but in confidence in the God who has brought us this far and will continue to bring us further. So we look forward to what God's going to do in the church. If you're not involved actively, get involved. Hopefully, what's been presented tonight has been an encouragement to you, as it is to us as elders, throughout the year. But if you're not involved in service, as you can see, there's plenty of opportunities here. We'll close in prayer, and then Seth will come. And Lord God, we praise you as a God who is perfect. Your ways are perfect. Your ways are just. Lord, we praise you as we look back over the past year, as we look back over the history of this church, and we see time and time again your hand on this church, your provision for us, your strength when that is needed, your comfort when that is needed. Lord, we look forward to going, we look forward to this next year. We look forward to seeing what you will do through this church, through your body, through each one of us. Lord, may you be honored and glorified through Countryside Bible Church and each one of us. And we pray this in your name.